So I pitched this idea to him. I was like, hey, what if I build you a wiffle ball field in our backyard? He was like, what? It. I was like, yeah, I'll build you a wiffle ball field and we'll have a home run derby with all your friends. We'll get, you know, Cracker Jacks and root beer and I'll grill some hot dogs and we'll have prizes and it'll be great. He goes, I love it.
Welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. This is the podcast for dads of all seasons to learn the things that they can do and engage so that they can go and equip the next generation for success. Here we sit down with everyday dads just like you to learn from their story, get inspired, and then start getting after it. So we invite you to join in, see what you can take away from this story, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming a skilled dad. Hey guys, and welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. I'm here today with my friend, Mr. Jason Kimbrough. Jason, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And I was thinking about this before we hopped on our Zoom call here of the mountain trip that we were taking through the winding roads, no cell phone coverage, up to the ranch in Colorado. Yep. And that's where we originally got to share each other's stories and got to know each other real well as we're wondering if we're going the right direction. And that was, man, that was a little while ago already. So I'm excited for everybody to hear your story. Thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was fun. We were in the middle of nowhere and got to know each other really fast.
And we made it. We made it there, which was good.
And then we just walked around mountains like men.
We did. And there were some horses involved at some point,
too. We rode horses and stared at snow-capped mountains and the Rockies. It was awesome.
It was awesome. I'm ready to go back. Blue sky country. So, Jason, for those that aren't maybe already aware of you, tell our tribe out there a little bit about yourself, if you would.
Yeah, so I live in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and I've been married almost 18 years. We'll celebrate 18 years in a couple weeks. And my wife's name is Ashley, and we have four kids. And never thought I would be a four-kid dad. I'm more of like a two-kid dad, you know what I mean? Like, I knew I'd have kids, but, like, I thought maybe one or two. That's about my level of, like, patience and skill with kids. But we ended up having, I thought, okay, my wife loves babies and loves kids, you know, and like, So she was like, I really want a third. And so I was like, okay, what a good compromise, you know, we'll have three. And then after the third one, she just kept falling in love with all these babies. And it wasn't really about me, it was about the babies. I mean, she loves me too. But anyway, like, then she started really wanting a fourth. And I wrestled with that for a long time, and it was like, what am I going to do? Say no? Like, it just felt like I want a happy wife, and she has this, like, it almost felt like a calling or something, you know, to have a fourth.
That was the calling?
Well, after, like, a bunch of hours and months of conversation, it was like, oh, she's not giving up on this. Like, she really, you know, so it almost felt, I mean, like, that's just what she felt like she needed to do. And so I just kind of was like, all righty, let's do it, you know? And so we ended up going through a couple years of pain because we had two miscarriages in 1 year. Hmm. And that was really hard. I'd never really, honestly, I've had friends and people that I know that have had miscarriages, but I didn't understand. Yeah. Like, that's such a painful, real process, and you don't really understand it unless you go through it. And so we went through that, and that was really hard.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a number of friends that have experienced that. I mean, it's some guys listening here right now may have experienced that. So that's like, I think that is a podcast episode on its own. with that. Yeah. So, I mean, I know that's tough, man.
Yeah. So we experienced that, and that was like, okay, now what do we do? So at this point, it's almost like, oh no, we are going to have a fourth kid. You know, like at that point, my competitive side came out. It was like, and then, you know, I'm not saying that's healthy, but it was just like, okay, let's do this, you know, like, but mm-hmm. we had to weigh that. Okay. What if we have a third miscarriage, you know, and we were both approaching 40 and all that good stuff. So, but we ended up getting pregnant and having a healthy baby boy. So we have three boys and a girl. By the end of this year, they will be two. Knox will be two, our youngest. He's already two. And then Eve, our only daughter, will be 8. Pierce will be 10. And then Mac will be 13. So 2, 8, 10, 13. And so that's it, man. We're having fun. We're not bored. I can tell you that.
You're going to have one in high school and one just getting out of diapers. Yeah. You got to spread.
One of my favorite comedians. He is my favorite comedian, Jim Gaffigan. He tells a joke. He said, I think he has four kids, because I think this is what he was why he was telling the joke. He said, people wonder what it's like to have four kids. He said, I'll tell you what it's like. Imagine you're drowning and someone throws you a baby. That's what it's like.
This is a podcast about hope and being a dad. Yeah. And there it is, baby.
Where's he said, but it's great.
So a guy like me that just moved. Yeah, I'm going to jump into this question. Since you brought it up, a guy like me that just moved from going man to man into zone defense with my third, you're well beyond that at this point. What would you tell a guy like me that's going into zone D to prepare themselves for, or how would you equip me to get ready for what's coming?
Oh, man. I'll tell you, going from 2 to 3 was our biggest, hardest transition. So, there you go.
So just wait till number 4. That's
what that's yeah. Yeah. But no, it was our biggest, anytime you have another kid, it's a lot of work, but going from 2 to 3, it was like, you don't ever stop. Mm-hmm. Like there will never, ever, ever, until they all get out of the house, there will never be a time where you have everything done. Like you're always doing something. A kid always is going to need you. I mean, it's just, that's what happened when we went from 2 to 3. It was like, okay, this is pure chaos. Like we love our kids, but this is practically chaos. Like on a practical level, we are always going to have something to do. So the biggest, I guess, tip would be, you're going to have to, if you're anything like me, like I love getting things done. I hate things undone. There's going to be times where you got to leave the dishes in the sink. There's going to be times where you have to close that laptop, even though you're not done. There's going to be times where you have to leave other people hanging or leave work hanging because you got to get to the T-ball game. Or you can tell that your child needs to have a conversation right then. Or like you can't complete all the tasks and then give your kids the leftovers because you literally, practically, will never ever get done.
There's always more work to do.
There's always stuff to do.
Yeah.
Close the pole, everything.
That's a great tip. You seem like a cool dad. You know, like there's different dads. Like you seem like a cool dad. So as you've gone from 1 now to 4, like what are some of the key lessons that you've learned? Because I mean, that's a spread, right? 13 and 2. There's a lot of different phases in there. So like, what are some of the key lessons and skills that you've learned along the way that you could help us out with?
Well, you know, one of the most recent things I'm learning, I read a book called The Power of Moments, Chip and Dan Heath. I love all their books. I read a book called The Power of Moments, and it talks about, I mean, it's just very self-explanatory with the title, about creating moments. And so I just tended to relate it to my life and, you know, my marriage and my kids especially. And we've done some of this through the years, but I've really made an intentional effort here recently to give my family something to look forward to, like always have something for them to look forward to. So like vacations, we try to plan them out. We're not perfect at this. But like vacation, we always have like a theme song in our vacations. Like, we try to do a family night once a week. The summer, we have not been doing great at that, but So we'll do family nights, and sometimes we'll theme them. Like we'll do like one time we did burgers and board games. I grill burgers and they pick out a board game. We eat around the table. We do a couple rounds of would you rather or high low. Like, so we'd high low would be like, what's your high today? What's your low today? And they go around the room. And so my daughter will be like, my high was I went to school. My low was I went to school or whatever. Like, or they'll just, you know, get some talking or would you rather. We get some weird would you rather rounds at the dinner table. And then we play a board game or we've done movie night. Like we'll just, we pick out a movie, we pop popcorn. We let them eat in the living room. It's the only time they get to eat in the living room. Pizza night, Mexican food night. We'll get sombreros and put them on whatever. Like, so we're trying to create memories, family nights, birthdays are a big deal. So like one year, my son was really into WWE. Like wrestlers, like, and I don't know where he got it, his love and his passion for that, but like he was obsessed.
He got so it from you, didn't he? Didn't
yeah,
he
get it? I guess. So we built him like a wrestling ring and some like foam things, and they beat each other up or whatever. And then, I mean, recently, about a month ago, he turned 13. And I don't know, I was feeling really sentimental. Like, I was like, oh my goodness, like, he's gonna be driving in a year or two. Like, he's going to graduate high school in like 5 years. Like, time is passing me by. Because I remember when I held him in my arms in the hospital when he was born. And just like that, he's turning 13. And so I wanted to create, you know, 13 is a big birthday.
Yeah.
Becoming a teenager. And he's been real, he's real into sports and baseball and plays wiffle ball all the time. So I pitched this idea to him. I was like, hey, what if I build you a wiffle ball field in our backyard? He was like, what? It. I was like, yeah, I'll build you a wiffle ball field. And we'll have a home run derby with all your friends. We'll get, you know, Cracker Jacks and root beer. And I'll grill some hot dogs. And we'll have prizes. And it'll be great. He goes, I love it, you know. And so that's what we did. I spent more money than I wanted to. And I built him a wiffle ball field. And I'm telling you, it was such a memory. Like, he will never, ever, ever forget his 13th birthday. So
let me ask you something about the family nights. Like, the wiffle ball field is awesome. Like, the intentionality of going in and creating that moment. The family nights, when did you guys start that?
We started it like maybe 3 years ago.
Okay.
And when I say every week, it doesn't work out like that, but our attempt is every week. And like for now, like we've probably only done a couple in the last couple months because things have been so busy and vacation and summer, but our goal is once a week.
Since doing that, like, what have you seen come out of that? What has that done?
They look forward to it, and they'll be like, are we eating around the table? Because we don't eat around the table. Like, life is so fast and chaotic. Like, we're throwing goldfish to like at their faces at the bar stool, you know, like we're ordering Domino's pizza and telling them to eat wherever they want to, except for not living room. Like, so life is pretty fast paced, but once a week we're trying to sit down at the table and have intentional. I know there are some families eating around the table like every single night, whatever, like, that's just not how we roll. So
sure.
They end up talking about it. Are we going to eat around the table? When's family night? And so that's been one of the things. And then the conversations have been great, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just curious, like, prior to doing that, you still have the chaos kind of going on, you know, around. And like, we typically, every night we can sit around the dinner table. It doesn't always work out because it's busy, like you said. So every family's going to find the rhythm or system, but you created that intentionality to have the family night. So prior to that, the busyness was still happening. So I was just curious what maybe from before you were doing that to when you actually started doing that, kind of what that did for you, what you saw, in case, you know, someone hearing this is like, hey, you know what, that's a good idea. What are some things that I can do to go and implement that in our household? So that's good.
So just creating moments intentionally, but then also seizing moments. That's something that I'm learning a lot as far as just like maybe capitalizing on moments, whether that's, you know, teachable moments with my kids. So like the other day, one of my kids called the other one an idiot. And I was like, no, are you kidding me? And I said, I'm very disappointed in you, which I don't say that ever, even though I am disappointed a lot. I just don't, I feel like that's very, very blunt and very hurtful. So, but I said that, and I don't know if that was right or wrong, but I lit them up. I said, are you kidding me right now? What if I called you an idiot? What if I said, you're an idiot? How would that make you feel? I was like, you have to watch what you say, man. You, that's your younger brother. What are you doing? How could you do that? I was like, you're better than that. I love you. I'm frustrated. You know, so that was a teachable moment. And then the other day, I'm just trying to think of a few things, like little things. My daughter, she's 7. She's like, oh my gosh, that person's wearing a mask in the car. That's so weird, you know? And that was a teachable moment. I was like, listen, it may look weird to us. We don't know who's in the car. We don't know where they're driving. We don't know what their situation is. We don't understand their world. So just went into a conversation about like not judging people. And then, you know, like, you know, the kids come home from school and be like, oh, Johnny is so annoying, you know, and he did this. I'm like, listen, trust me, parents understand what it's like for other people to annoy them, but there's a story behind the story. Like everybody has a story. And so we have to look at that. We can't just judge people and not like people because people act the way they do for a reason. So, so these like teachable moments, I'm learning to seize them. And even like for me, like I lose my cool a lot more than I want to.
Is that like, your competitive side or kind of coming out there?
No, I think I have a problem. Like I like noises and chaos. Like I don't know how to handle it. So like if I'm, you know, cooking something on the stove and it's making noises and the TV's on and one of them's on their iPad and one of them's like, daddy, daddy, daddy. And the baby's like crying. I'm like, I'm going to lose my mind. And I'll end up raising my voice and being crazy. And so, I mean, it's not good. Like I said, I probably shouldn't even be on this podcast, but one thing I've learned is just to apologize to them, like to pull them aside and be like, hey, I'm sorry. Like I lost my cool. I got a lot going on. I haven't had a moment to breathe today. I love you. It's not you. It's me. You should have done this, but it wasn't worthy of me raising my voice at you. And that just, man, that does it. Like it just cleans the slate. They understand that. They understand humanity.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, we're all learning to be more skilled and we're always growing as people. But if we lose our cool and don't have that follow-up to at least show what humility is, like they're only getting one half of a picture that could create a different kind of moment that would be powerful. So at least you're sitting having that conversation with them kind of as that follow-up, and that we're, you know, it's a good conversation that we're always improving, right? Getting better as we continue to learn. Cause I mean, as dads, you'd said it earlier, how often internally we're like, I'm not sure how I can handle this one. Right.
Yeah.
But then being able to come out and have the right conversation with the kids going along. But you had mentioned something to me earlier, just kind of around, you know, things that you'd learned, and you had mentioned attention. What was kind of, remind me of the attention factor.
Yeah. Just, I guess as really I've learned a lot, I still have so much to learn, but I'm learning that just giving your kids attention, you know, I always say attention, affection, and affirmation. But with attention, it's like, man, we all know what it's like to be at home, but we're not really at home. Like we're there, but we're not really there. We're there physically, but we're not there mentally or emotionally.
Ah, there you go. And, yep.
So our phones have made it harder because we're on call all the time. And like I said, it never stops. Nothing. I mean, I literally have to put my phone in a different room sometimes in order to engage with my kids. And, you know, we don't get this time back with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that we can't create more of. We can't get it back. Time is ticking and we can't do anything about it. And so kids spell love, T-I-M-E, time. And they don't expect us to be superheroes. They don't expect us to be perfect, but I think they do expect us to spend time with them.
Yeah.
And so attention is, you know, it's huge, which is why we've implemented some of those family nights and stuff. It's like, we're going to be busy. Our family's going to be busy. We have ball games to go to, but once a week, we're going to try to make intentional time where it's all about the family. Mm-hmm. And then vacations, we're going to make at least once or twice a year where we're going to say yes to almost everything. Mm-hmm. Can we go in the gas station and get candy? Yep. You sure can. Can we go on that roller coaster? Yep. Can I get two Cokes? Yep. But like, because most of the time we're saying nope. But vacations are a time where we say yes, you know. Mm-hmm. So attention and affection, I mean, that's something that, you know, every child needs. And some of us are, you know, more affectionate than others, but they need touch, you know, they need physical touch. And then affirmation, like, man, just the words we speak over them matter. Our voice matters the most. We want to keep it that way, you know.
Yeah, that goes along with the sentiment of calling your sibling an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all grow up, but you still don't, you know, play well usually when someone calls you that or something along those lines directly. It just doesn't happen as much, right? But
yeah, that's, but think about, like, yeah, when someone calls you a name or someone verbally abuses you, but then they come back and they say, listen, I'm really sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I have been so stressed. I have a lot of personal problems going on. And you're not an idiot. I don't know why I called you that. It's more about me than it is about you. And I just, will you forgive me? Like if we did that, if your coach that told you were an idiot back in 1986, were, you know, at some point would have called you, that's healing. And that's why I think it's so important that parents do that.
Yeah. When was the last time someone did that for you?
Called me and apologized?
Yeah.
Ooh, I think that's part of the problem. I can't remember a time.
Yeah, I think, you know, there might be some out there that they're like, oh, it happens all the time, which is fantastic. But there is that kind of that humility factor and putting down the pride factor of being able to especially in the marriage.
Yeah.
Being able to say, okay.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah, in our marriage, we do that all. We apologize all the time, but like, I can't remember a time where it's probably happened, but it's been so long, I don't remember. And that's part of the problem. We should be saying, I'm sorry a lot because we make a lot of mistakes.
You know, it's, have you ever read the book Love and Respect?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I need to go read it again. But there are some really interesting perspectives on that as far as, you know, kind of the loop that they put in there as far as what would happen if we treat each other, you know, kind of this way that we're both really have the other one's best interest.
Yeah.
Always up front, which is, yeah, should, I think often the intention, but the execution isn't always there. Yeah. There's a lot of different elements we could go down there, but just with the time that we have, I know that we do have a hard stop, but when we look at the elements now that, you know, you wish that you had known prior to getting into becoming a dad of 1, 2, 3, or 4, like what are a couple of those key things that you wish you would have known beforehand that you know now?
You know, this relates to kids because one of the things is I wish I'd have known is how expensive it is. Like, mm-hmm. I knew that kids cost money, but, you know, first of all, I didn't know I was going to have 4. Like I thought I'd probably have 2, which they're all expensive and they're worth it and all that. But I kind of wish someone would have mentored me in the area of finance and strategic planning for our future. Like, And I don't expect anyone to do that. I wish I would have known what I know now about investments and real estate and finance. And I've always been good with my finances as far as budgeting and saving and paying cash for things. Like, so I'm not even talking about like just basic budgeting, but just more like, dude, you could make a lot of money if you start now. Like, hey, you could start a business. You know, like I just kind of figured some stuff out along the way. And I just didn't know, you know, that it was okay to want to make a lot of money. Like, and I just didn't realize, you know, fast forward, you know, we've been married almost 18 years, how different the world would be in 18 years. Inflation and just how everything has changed, digital, you know, now we're getting into crypto and all this stuff. Like, so I just wish I would have been more educated as far as just like making investments and stuff like that. We've done fine, but that's something that I think, you know, I can help younger people as they're entering adulthood and fatherhood. Like, hey, you need to be really, really smart with your money. And then so how expensive it is, also how hard it is. And I, like I said, I knew raising kids would be hard. I didn't know how hard it was. And you don't know until you do it. It's just plain hard. And it's okay. It's okay to say that it's hard, even though you love it. Because what things that you love aren't hard? You know,
right.
It's like John Maxwell said something like everything worthwhile is uphill. I think he said that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a cool quote. You know, everything worthwhile is uphill. So it's worth it. But, you know, sometimes you need to be prepared to go uphill. And I don't know how much I was. I don't know how much I would have been. Even someone had said, hey, it's really hard. You know, like, so how expensive it is, how hard it is, but also how great it is. I mean, it is such a joy. I mean, a few months ago, my daughter, she's 7, she just came and laid on top of me. We were watching TV. And it was just like there was no one else around. It was like quiet. And I could literally feel her heartbeat as she lay on top of me. Like,
mm-hmm.
I could feel like her heart beating. And it was just such a moment of like, this is the best. I don't want her to grow one more day older. Like, I want her to stay here. So it's just such a great thing. Parenting is.
Yeah. Well, as we look at, you know, some of the different lessons that you've learned, the difficulty, but then also the greatness for anybody that's listening right now that is finding themselves as a dad, a husband, they might be in that place of kind of the valley, so to speak, where it's like, no, right now is a pretty tough time. I'm listening to this podcast to hear from other guys' stories. Right now is a pretty tough time. What's some encouragement that you might have for them just from things that you've experienced, your story? What would you say to those guys?
Yeah, I would say just, you know, I understand. And it's life is hard in general. Life was hard before kids, and kids aren't going to make it necessarily easier. But to me, you just got to keep walking, keep pressing on. Kind of like when you're like wandering in the desert, you know, sitting still isn't going to help. You know, eventually you just keep walking and keep walking. You'll find water, you know, and because your kids are worth it. You know what I mean? Like, we get one shot at this. This is it. And so if anything, keep pressing on and keep walking for your kids. I would play the long game. You, in 20 years, you want to be close to your daughter. You want to be close to your son. And, you know, it's like they're an arrow. We're the warrior. We have a quiver full of kids. Some of you have one. I have 4. Some people have more. I know a family that has 8. I'm like, my goodness. Ooh. So, but their job, you know, our job as parents is to, eventually, we're going to release that arrow and we're going to release our kids into the world. And we get one shot at that. And this is it. And so I would just say to those that are struggling right now, first of all, you're not alone. Take a deep breath and keep walking, keep pressing on, and just do the simple things, you know, love your kids, discipline them. My goodness, we don't need more undisciplined kids. It's an act of love to discipline. Be a friend to your kids, bring joy, bring laughter, bring fun, be yourself, be human, and you know, it'll be worth it in the end.
That's good, man. Yeah, there's a lot of guys on here too that might just be listening to get some of those skills and tips. So we've got a few of those out of this. I love the attention, affection, and affirmation aspect. A bit of a theme that's kind of rolling out over the last two episodes. But as we look at the time that we've got with our kids, that's pretty finite. Each day that we have some time that we can allocate and be intentional to get those attention, but the work is always going to be there. Something's always going to be there to do, like you said. So I think that's big. The power of moments that you had mentioned is something that a resource others can go and take a look at and take some more thoughts from that. And then as you're looking at, if you are looking at some tough times, just keep going through, man. Keep pressing through to go find that water, and you'll find it in time. Because being a dad, we've got our kids. We've now got the responsibility, and we've got the arrows to shoot. And, you know, the question is, which direction they're going to go? And we have the opportunity to help point those in the right direction. So that's killer, man. Jason, I appreciate you taking the time to jump on here with me and just catching up. If people want to learn more about you, where can they go and find you?
You know, I'm on Instagram and Twitter, just at Jason Kimbrough. So my last name's spelled K-I-M-B-R-O-W. I'm on Facebook too. And then I just recently got a TikTok account, but I haven't done anything with it. So
you're gonna be dancing on TikTok so we can see your dance.
No. I'm gonna be like, hey guys, what's up, kids?
you've already got a lot of good Instagram pictures out there that I'm like, okay, I feel like I need to up my game because you're showing off your dad's skills on your Instagram.
Well, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying my best. So, hey, I appreciate you. I like this podcast idea. I love it. Anytime we can help dads, we help the whole family. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And as we improve, because kids, they really learn by catching, not just by what they're taught, by what is caught. And so as we improve our lives, we're actually improving the whole family. And that's why it's important in fatherhood that we also take care of ourselves. And so I appreciate you putting this podcast out, and I appreciate you inviting me on.
Anytime, man. Anytime. My pleasure. Well, hey guys, if you've made it all the way to the end here, we just appreciate you chiming in. We hope that you've got some great takeaways that you can apply to your life. And as Jason said, improve yourself and learn some lessons that you can help lead your family. And if you want to learn more information, you can go to theskilleddad.com. We've got some resources there. As we continue to expand that and grow, we'd love to hear your feedback. And if you have an opportunity to reach out and you want to share part of your story with us, you can fill out the form on the website, and we'd love to hear from you and have a conversation. But guys, thank you for listening to The Skilled Dad.